This particular chapter, there's a lot of good stuff here. His overall emphasis, he's driving a point home. But in this chapter, there's some things that I felt like really needed to be qualified. And last week, I went into great detail why. I'm not going to do that this week. I'm not going to take time to do that. This part, we're talking about Christian philosophy. And how many know that have been with us what we mean by that now? Christian philosophy. The name of the book, those of you that have been with us, we're following a book called Christian Philosophy by Andrew Womack. And he's basing that off of, how many remember Colossians chapter 2, verse 8? I'm just going to, so that you know where we're at. Colossians chapter 2, verse 8, Paul is writing to a church where he has not been yet. Says that he hopes to be with them, but he has a certain concern, and he voices it here. He says, "Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men and after the rudiments of the world and not after Christ." We learned weeks ago that those are military terms that Paul used. He used a lot of military terms quite frequently. The beware in the original Greek means literally, it's a military term to be on guard, to be watching, be aware. Beware lest any man spoil you. Spoil, again, is a military term meaning ripped off, stolen from, robbed. Are you with me? And of course, we could go into the, I'm not going to take the time to do that. We talked about where that word spoil came from and what it meant in ancient times in reference to war. We won't do that tonight. Suffice it to say, he is telling them to be on guard because the traditions of men and vain deceit, because of bad philosophy, could take you to places where you don't need to go. And so this is the warning. So the whole book is based on Christian philosophy. Philosophy, he takes that word from there in the King James. Basically, it's talking about your paradigm. Somebody want to define paradigm for everybody else? Come on, some of you school teachers, help me out. Help me out, Kim. Paradigm. Not paradox, paradigm. It's a way of thinking. Your worldview, a system by which you now interpret the world you see. How many know the lot of people, most people, interpret the world they see and perceive based on their experiences? And I'll tell you what, the older you get, especially without the Lord, and the more hurt that you experience, the more the defenses and the filters go up. And I'll tell you what, there are people that are very walled in. Aren't you glad that the truth, John 8:32, "You shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free." How many would lift your hands tonight and thank God for the truth of God's word? Hallelujah. Where would we be? And so this is what he's saying. And so we have to understand that if we are basing our thinking, our way of thinking, on anything else but the word of God, we're headed for trouble. And there's a lot of stuff said and spoken in the name of Jesus and in the name of Christianity in these days that, excuse me, has nothing to do with Scripture, really and truthfully. And so that's all I'll say about that. Otherwise, I'll do what I always do and re-preach the last 14 weeks, and we won't move forward at all. Last week, then, once again, chapter 5, if you want to go there with me one more time, chapter 5, "How Do I Follow God?" I felt the need. How many of you have read that chapter already in your books? Okay. When he opens that lesson up, he says some things that are very true, but if you don't know the context, for a pastor, this could be a nightmare. And I'm going to read just a little bit. I don't even know that we took the time last time or not, but I'm going to again this time if we did. He says, "I remember, how do I follow God?" This is how he opens it up. Of course, you've got to understand his overall emphasis is we've got to make sure that as believers, our worldview, our way of thinking, our paradigm, our philosophy is based on the Word of God and nothing else. There's nothing worse than faith based on experience. It better be based on God's Word. I don't care what you've been through, experiential faith will get you in trouble. It's not really faith at all. It's faith in God's Word, even when it looks like, man, what is going on? Know that His Word is true. So anyway, he says, "I remember a young man who came to me for counseling one time about going to Caris Bible College. He said that he knew God was telling him to go, but everyone in his life was telling him not to go. He went into a long story detailing all of the reasons the pastor of his church, his parents, and his girlfriend thought he shouldn't go. After about 10 minutes, he finally asked me, "So what do you think?" The response was, "I said you lost the moment. You lost me the moment you said you know God is telling you to go. If God tells you to do something, then you just do what God tells you to do. Stop." Okay? Young man, I understand where Brother Womack's got, and we're gonna blend that tonight so that we don't take away. There's some tremendous truth here. I wouldn't have the book out in front of you. I'd encourage you to read it. But we're dealing with a young man. We don't know what his spiritual maturity level is. We don't know anything about him, number one. Obviously, Brother Womack knew something we don't. But to me, this is where we got to be so careful what we say. And I got to watch myself and what we put in print. Make sure that we're qualifying it. We don't know the young man. We don't know his level of maturity. We don't know where he was coming from exactly. What he did say, though, is everybody in my life is telling me no. I got news for you. If everybody in your life, including your pastor, is saying don't do it, you better stop. God is not in a hurry. You heard me say this last week. A very near and dear minister to me in my life said this. He's known all over the world since has gone on to be with the Lord. He said, "I would rather be behind God than ahead of Him." And a lot of this very, very strict, it is, you know, quoting the Old Testament is, obedience is better than sacrifice. That's true, but we have to qualify that now in the age of grace as sons and daughters who have the Holy Spirit living on the inside of us. Need to make sure that we understand what we're talking about. He says here, your relationship with God, now this is what I love. I don't know if you have your books open. If you don't, I'm going to read it to you. I guess it would be the third full paragraph. He says, your relationship with God should soak all the way down to the very core of your being. Now he said something. Okay? When that happens, your actions will be determined by your philosophy instead of by your environment or emotions. I remember years ago with college and career group, we were challenging them to share their faith. And we experienced real revival at House of Prayer International. A number of those kids wound up in Bible school and are in ministry today, and it's a beautiful story. When I feel a little bit of a struggle, I can still see 100-plus kids, 150-plus kids with their hands in the air shouting after 5 years of ministry revival, shouting, set free, kids off drugs. I'm not exaggerating, not even in the littlest. Shouting, "I am the answer." A word that the Lord gave me for them, "I am the answer and not the problem because of Jesus in this place." What a powerful thing. And I remember one of those deals, I talked to them about something very simple, and I pointed out a thermostat on the wall. And I said, as believers, we have a decision to make. We can be a thermometer and reflect what is around us, or we can be a thermostat and set the temperature. And people who get their philosophy and their worldview from the Word of God and begin to learn, I don't walk by emotions, I don't walk by what I feel or see, I walk according to the Word of God. Even when I don't fully understand it, I humbly submit to it. I walk in it by faith. I let it come out of my mouth, knowing that He is faithful to His promise. What He said is true, and I can trust that and walk forward by faith. Aren't you glad for His Word? Amen. And so here he's saying, your relationship with God should soak all the way down the very core of your being. When that happens, your action will be determined by your philosophy instead of your environment or emotions. It really simplifies life to realize Jesus is Lord and you aren't. How many can say amen to that? That's absolutely true. Now, before we go any further, now I'm not going to elaborate much. I took the whole last week and went through each of these points. I just started writing down. Before we go any further, John 10:27. If you weren't here, write these down. If you were and didn't, write them down. John 10:27. Jesus straight up tells us, "My sheep know my voice." Stop saying, "I can't hear from God." Maybe you're struggling. Maybe you feel like you can't. Maybe you're not hearing what is being voiced, but stop saying that and begin to say what Jesus said. I am His child. I do hear from God. I know His voice. Can you say that with me right now? I know, come on, shout, I know the voice of my shepherd. And start listening to it. Don't let that lie come out of your mouth anymore. He gave us a promise. My sheep know my voice. So be attentive. He's speaking to you. Amen. No? Amen. All right. Okay. All right. Matthew 5:6 says, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst for righteousness. They'll be filled. How hungry are you to hear from Him? We're gonna talk about those things. You can't just say, God, how many ran into people that God's always telling them something every day, and it changes all the time. God told me to do this. God told me to do this. God told me to go here. God told me to go there. It's confusing. It's embarrassing. You can't keep up with them, and they usually wind up in big wrecks. But we can learn, and this is why I felt led of the Lord to lay some of these things out. Psalms 119, verse 130 says, the entrance of His word, hallelujah, brings light. When you don't know what else to do, get into the Word of God. I gave the example, and I guess I'll go ahead and give it again. I tell people who are growing and new in the Lord, the best way to begin to hear from God is to begin to be familiar with His Word. Get somebody to help you out. Find Scripture. You can memorize it. Stop saying, I'm not a reader. Stop saying, I can't memorize Scripture. Start saying, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You must. It's your life. You don't have to remember King James. You don't have to remember exact. But if you can remember the Scripture and what it says, and begin to let it come out of your mouth. And as you begin to learn Scripture, you will find out the place the Holy Spirit begins with baby Christians is He speaks to them through His Word. And He still does, by the way. I don't care if you're 80 and you've been walking this all the time. His primary way to speak to you is you'll be in the middle of a situation, and Scripture will rise up out of nowhere, and that voice. Now, there will be time, as you mature and grow in God, there will come a time when you'll hear Him say, don't do that, or go do this, or pick up the phone and call so-and-so, and you'll go, wait a minute, that's the same voice that's been speaking to me through His Word all these years. I'm going to try this out. So I walk over to the corner of where I'm installing tile in a big home, and pick up the phone and turn where I can get a good signal up in the mountains. And it's been on me all day long. And I said, that's the voice. I haven't talked to the guy in 2 years. He answers the phone. Him? Leland, how did you call? He's sitting on a toilet with a 9mm to his head. Stop saying, I don't hear. Begin to say, my sheep know my voice. I'm His and He is mine. I do know and hear. But start with the basics. Man, you've got good news and the kingdom on the inside of you. Anyway, moving right along. I said I wouldn't expound. I can't help myself. Okay, here we go. Psalms 37, 23, excuse me, says, the steps of a good man. Of course, we know how good is defined under the new covenant. Who have you put your faith in? He who was obedient unto death and now is accounted to you for obedience, righteousness in God. Proverbs 14:12 says there's a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof is destruction. What I did is I wrote down just a quick list of how to, this theme of how to follow God. Basically, you could say how to follow or listen or hear the Holy Spirit. I gave a list of things that we need to watch for. And number one, how many of you were not here last week? Maybe I should move a little bit slower. Was it the week before? Oh, that's right. That's why we're missing a week. So this was 2 weeks ago. Of course, you were here. The first step then, number one, the first step in being trained to follow God is being acquainted with His Word. You remember that? Being acquainted with His Word. Number two, the more intimate, and this is so vital, the more intimate you become with the Word, the more intimate you will become with the author. Bottom line, there's no shortcut. That is so vital. Saying the same thing we've been saying, leading into it. Number three, he will never lead you to do something inconsistent with his word or that contradicts his word. I get it all the time. I hear it all the time. Yes, but God told me. And basically what they're telling me is, I don't care what the Bible says, I know what I believe. What you believe, your philosophy, better be based on what the Bible says. And if it's not there, I'd shelve it and not worry about it. If it happens, praise God. If it doesn't, don't worry about it. But it better be in the Word of God. Number four, he will never give you a brand new direction that surprises you utterly. I mean completely, utterly surprises you through another person. I believe in the new covenant prophet, but I do not believe he's anything like the old covenant prophet. The new covenant prophet affirms and confirms what the Spirit of God should have already said to you. That's it. He doesn't direct your life. He doesn't hear from God for you. You have one mediator between us and the Father. It's Jesus Christ. Are you with me? So we need to realize that. He will confirm to you through another individual about what God is already speaking in your heart. Number five, God keeps his word and expects us to keep our word. So he will not tell us to do something that would cause us to break our covenant or commitment with another person. Marriage, ministry, a job obligation. The least we can do if we can't meet a commitment is pick up the phone. But we ought to be able to keep our word. Can you say amen? All right. God is not flaky. So let's help him not look like it. For we represent him on planet Earth. Six, God does not lead. This one is really, really important. Turn one more time to Psalms 37. You hear me quote this all the time. Psalms 37, and we'll touch on this a little bit more here in a few minutes. Psalm 37, 4 and 5. One of my favorites. It became a real revelation to me, even though I'd preached it since I was a young guy. In my teens, it didn't become a reality for me until just about 12, 13 years ago, 14 years ago. Psalms 37. Says, verse 4, delight thyself in the Lord. I was going to look that up under, what translation do you have? New King James. Amplified. Read that. Read delight out of the Amplified. So it doesn't do anything with delight. There's another translation that does something with delight. Anybody have it? The message sometimes is fantastic, and at other times you're like, where did the cookie recipe come from? So I love the message, but that isn't it. What's that? Yeah, that's not it. Delight. If you go and you study it out, this is a childlike, this is the best way I can describe it. Delight, worship, honor, a healthy fear, not fearing. For we no longer have the spirit of fear, but the spirit of adoption through Jesus Christ. You understand what I'm saying? But this delight yourself in the Lord is a deep childlike, happy, total trust in who he is. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he will, isn't that wonderful, bring it to pass. Now, what I want you to notice here now, you bring that forward into the context of the new covenant. The man writing this didn't know or experience what it was like to have the Spirit of God living within. We are now sons and daughters And the Spirit of adoption in us, the Holy Spirit, cries, Abba Father, Daddy God. Isn't that awesome? Okay? Now here's the thing. A lot of people have been taught to seek direction from God, and they're waiting for a voice out there. They're waiting for something to come from out there somewhere. You can set yourself up for real deception. Would you say with me today, He lives in me. And He leads us from the inside. It's inside. And He expresses His desires. If we are submitted to Him and our philosophy is being shaped by His Word, He will begin to birth desires. It's not whatever you desire, translated modern, postmodern language, whatever I want. There is a desire that wells up on the inside of you. I remember as a kid, newly baptized in the Holy Spirit, I'd lift my hands during worship and I could see myself. This would have scared me half silly before I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But now I'd see myself standing on a stage, and this wasn't a prideful, I want to be up front. It was very, but I didn't see me on the stage. I saw the people being lifted in worship and saw that God would use me that way. And people being filled with the Holy Spirit. You know, 10, 15 years later, this is exactly what was taking place in our life in Guatemala and in Honduras. How many of you stood in worship or stood in a time of honoring and loving God, and He begins to put pictures? Don't just think that's crazy. Don't jump. Don't be rash. This is why I want to qualify what Brother Womack said here. If the Lord's speaking to you, He will confirm that. Don't be quick. I don't agree with that. I don't think He agrees with that. I think He was so intent on driving this point home. He was saying, look, if you know that God spoke to you, now that's true. If you know that God spoke to you, why are you waiting? Get moving. You understand? Get moving. But the thing is that we have to understand that not everybody that says God spoke to me has the maturity to understand whether He did or not. And people get them, and that's why I'm taking the time to do what we're doing right now. So back to how He leads. God does not lead from the outside for the new covenant believer. He leads us from the inside. Isn't that awesome? He leads us in here. Okay? I'm going to repeat what I said a few minutes ago. Under the same thing, one great preacher known around the world, whose name I won't use again, said, I'd rather be a little behind God than be ahead of Him. So that's so vital, so important. Number 8, if you're married, and this is a tough one, but if you're married to a believer, now listen, married to an unbeliever because you came to the Lord after you were married or whatever, that, I mean, we understand God has answers for all of that, so we're not drawing a line or excluding anybody. But for the believers in here that are married, are you with me? If you're married to a believer, God will not tell you a whole new direction in life without in some way or another letting your spouse know. You're just going to bull ahead because you heard from God and they're like completely like, stop. You may be hearing from God, but you're ahead of God and you're going to get yourself in a jam because He recognizes that covenant. He called you one and something's hung up and it might be you. So just stop. God's not in that big of a hurry. He will speak to both of you. I know that's not shouting material, but it's still true. All right? That's why it's important to pray together. Here's number 9. God will never force anyone to do anything. And I hear this. I've heard it in our own church recently. God made us do this, and we don't know why, and we're just submitted to His will. Careful, He doesn't make anybody do anything. Much as I love cowboying and cowboys and love that life, I'm so glad my God, Sally, is not a cowboy who drives, but He's a shepherd who leads. Leads from the inside out. Isn't that good news? Some pretty good. Yes, go ahead. Seven, did I skip it? Seven. I did skip seven. You're right. And that was the one that went with the preacher friend that said, I'd rather be behind God than ahead of him. Number seven, my apologies, you're exactly right. Don't fall for the lie. You've only got one chance to listen. I was driven to the point, I feel like I was going crazy because I had to. And you know where a lot of that came from? Turn your Bibles real quick, give you a little side lesson. Romans, the book of Romans chapter 12. Just in case you're one of those people that are still hung on this, Romans chapter 12, you hear me quote this constantly. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, he starts out in Romans 12, 1, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but rather, what? Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove. That you may prove. So the transformation of your mind does something. It helps you prove, okay, to know, to live in what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I'm not picking on the Assemblies of God, but Assemblies of God doctrine. Where I went to Bible school, they weren't Assemblies of God, but all of them came out of it, and I've heard it in a lot of the Assemblies of God churches. Not picking on the Assemblies. Everybody say, God bless the Assemblies. All right? And the Baptists while we're at it. But the thing is that they interpreted this, along with people that I love very much. They said there is the good, and then there is the acceptable, and then there is the perfect, some of you are nodding your heads, will of God. We can settle for the good, and there's that which God says, okay, it's acceptable. But then if we really fast and pray and pay the price, we can find the perfect. That is the biggest crock of poo-poo. He is describing one thing here. The will of God for you. Looks like this. It's good. It's acceptable. Follow me? He's describing the goodness of the will of God. You say, well, what about the acceptable? What about Jesus preaching the acceptable year of our Lord? Does that mean it was, you know, it could have been better? Oh, he's talking about the highest thing you could possibly preach. How many are glad to be in the good, the acceptable, and perfect will of God for us? Isn't that beautiful? So we've got to understand. So this idea that you got one window of opportunity, and if you don't take it, you're in trouble. I'm so glad. Now listen, how many have missed windows of opportunity? You knew God spoke to you, and you missed that window of opportunity. And because of that, you missed out on some things. But how many know life isn't over? How many know God's still got a plan? God's still got His Word that He's given to you. He's got a plan B. He can make plan B for you now better. Are you with me? You can't go back. What's done is done. Aren't you glad for forward in Jesus? Paul said it this way, I forget those things which are behind. Some of us need to let the Lord help us to forget it. Lay it down and forget it. And I press forward towards the mark of my high calling. Did you know I have a high calling? In Christ Jesus. Aren't you glad for that tremendous liberty? So anyway, there's a few tremendous points on how to and how not to follow God. Did you enjoy those? Important factors in hearing from the Lord. Now I want to move forward just a little bit more. I don't know where this is in your books. He makes a statement. He says, I made Jesus the Lord of my life. March 23rd, 1968, and I haven't tried to direct my own life since. God is Lord, and I'm not, and He knows what's best for me? I'd say amen. Wouldn't you agree with that? He said, I have feelings and opinions like everybody else, but the discussion ends, and here's the kicker. This is what I would have made clear. The discussion ends once I'm sure. Hello, people. There's a place. You think you're hearing from God. It's okay to prove that up. It's okay to wait on God and to know this is the direction. Do you know how many people I watched come to the mission field that had no business being on the mission field? And it was a mess. Not only did they not help the people they went to help, I saw people get divorced. I saw people lose everything because they were just sure, because they saw a few babies with flies and tears in their eyes, that was where they belonged. And they had these lofty visions of grandeur and moved off. Wouldn't listen to anybody. Listen, you need to prepare. It would be good for if you made a... we heard from God. Bam! And watched them go. And it broke your heart, but they wouldn't listen. What do you do if people won't listen? Pray for them and love them and be there when the stuff hits the fan to help them pull it back together. It's important. So, he says here, he said, God is Lord and I'm not, and he knows what's best for me. He said, I have feelings and opinions like everyone else, but the discussion ends once I'm sure God is telling me to do something. I trust God's judgment more than I trust my own, and I just do what he leads me to do. Jump down to the next paragraph. He says, it would really simplify your life to run up a white flag and surrender to Jesus as Lord. He says here, one of my favorite passages of Scripture, and I love this, is from Jeremiah. He was wondering out loud how people whom God rescued from Egypt and preserved through many miracles could forget the Lord who delivered them and turn to, once again, to vain idols. In the middle of his grieving, Jeremiah answered his own question by saying, and this is found in Jeremiah chapter 10, if you have your Bibles, Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 23, he says, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. Can you say amen? It is not in man, it is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. And we could put it this way, to direct his own steps. The Jews had fallen from a position of favor because they started doing things in their own way. Jeremiah recognized that God didn't create us to rule our own lives. He gave us the free will to make our own choices, but God never intended for us to direct our own steps. We have the freedom to decide for ourselves because God doesn't force his will upon us, but the correct choice is to recognize our complete dependency on God. We aren't smart enough, can you say amen, to run our own lives. Deuteronomy 30, verse 19, and you know this scripture, most of you in here know it well. God says, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. He gave us choice. But then he says, but let me help you out. Choose life. Turn to your neighbor, tap them a little hard and say, choose life. We got to develop a proper paradigm, philosophy in God's word. God gives us a choice, but he also tells us which option is best. He says, choose life. We need to seek his will in everything we do, and he'll show us the path to take. Turn with me. I know it's a very well-known scripture. Most of you can quote it, but let's look at it in scripture together. Proverbs chapter 3. The book of Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. Right after the book of Psalms, Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. It says, trust in the Lord. You ever heard this before? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. And he will direct your paths. Now, I want to go back to a word, surrender. We may not move any further than this tonight, because the idea of surrender, how many know that it is important to surrender our lives to Jesus? Not just as Savior, but as Lord. What Brother Womack's saying here is so true and so powerful and so primordial to any kind of a true walk with God. We must come to it. You know, Jesus himself God manifest in the flesh, the man part of him had to go through. Lord, if it's possible, he said, sweating blood, knowing what was before him. If it's possible, let this cup pass from me. And in the same breath, the God-man said, nevertheless, let your will be done. How many in here tonight can lift your hands and say, your will and not mine? Now here's the beauty of what he did though. God no longer does this. Leads. Remember? Remember one of our points? He leads from the as sons and daughters. If there's correction to be done, he doesn't do it through sickness. He doesn't do it through lack. He doesn't do it through emotional trauma. He doesn't do it through taking one of your babies or your grandbabies. He doesn't do it. That's not how he works. Scripture makes it clear his correction comes through, Hebrews tells us, his word. David alludes to that in Psalms 23. I went my way. I went. He was leading me in paths of righteousness. He was leading me beside still waters. He was making me to lie down in green pastures. But I walked in the valley of the shadow of death. But even there, I'll fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff in Scripture. This is his word. They comfort me. Aren't you glad? Now in the new covenant, so much more. He leads us from the inside out. So we need to understand when we hear the word surrender. Hey, this young man, I don't know exactly what the deal was, but I know if a young man came to me and he says, God spoke to me, and everybody in my life disagrees, and even my pastor, and I thought I would ask you, I'd say, you know what, young man, you need to stop. God is not in that big of a hurry. You're a young guy, you need to hold up. There's some things you need to understand. Yes, but I feel like that if, you know, and people get this idea of surrender. So I want to talk about surrender for just a few moments if I can, because it goes right with this. How many know in following God, surrender is important? But we better understand what we're talking about. Let me get there real quick. Just some things that I jotted down as I was meditating and thinking about this. Many are trying to surrender to God. How many know it's important? Remember the point that we gave? The more we come, the more intimate we are with His Word, the more intimate we will become. The more intimate we are with the Word, the more intimate we will become with the Author. My sheep know my voice. How many are going to say that this week? Start boldly declaring and listening. Stop saying, I don't know, and I never have, and I've always wanted to, but I can't. Stop it and start saying, I'm His sheep. I have a right to hear His voice. He said that His sheep knows His voice. And start expecting, and then do something. Get yourself in the Word of God and wait for that Word to be applied in your situation. Okay, that's not... Okay, we'll keep going. So here we go. Many are trying to surrender their lives to God, but we must have a proper concept of surrender based on biblical truth and a biblical foundation for what we're surrendering to. I surrender all. One of the most beautiful songs I think ever written. I surrender all. All to Thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all. One person sees that as, man, I did everything my way. I was an alcoholic. I was this. I was that. I was the other. I was a knucklehead. And I kept it. But man, one day when Jesus came, I surrender willingly. Oh, man, this is the greatest thing in life. To another, they're saying, I got the report this week that I have a terminal blood disorder, and God knows, and if He allowed it, they prayed, nothing happened, so He allowed it. It must be His will. So what is your philosophy? Is it based on the Word of God? Are we accepting things that we shouldn't because we have an improper understanding of His will, and now we're surrendering things? Do you know most of the church world right now is all about. We have a lot of new songs. How about it, Mike? About surrender. Here's one for you. I love the song and we sing it here, but we omitted a part of it. It goes like this. You ever heard this one? Blessed be the name. Come on, you sing it with me? Lord, blessed be the name. How's it go? Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. And it's got some really awesome choruses that go with it. And we've done that here and we love it. There's one little part I did away with though. Give and take away. You give. Music is powerful. God started this deal. Music, the purpose for it was worship. And it connects we are human beings in this earthly vessel. It connects our emotions strongly to a perceived truth. And if it's connecting us to a perceived truth that's not truth, but we are embracing that in ignorance because somebody told us this is truth, and we're into that thing of worship, this becomes something very deep, and we surrender ourselves to something that is very dangerous, potentially lethal. Just a side note here, how many remember our series on Job? Turn to the book of Job. We use the song, you may as well. Are you enjoying this? We better know why and what we're surrendering to. Look at the book of Job. Job chapter 1. I'm not picking on the song. I'm saying that's a prevalent thought. And it's in a very beautiful song. And how many young people sung that song and they begin to say, man, Lord, whatever. I'll give you my life. I know a young lady that's preparing for ministry that she's plagued with the idea that God is requiring her to become a martyr. There's some understanding that is off there. Great heart, willingness, but very off base from the Word of God. How many know there are martyrs? How many know they are precious? How many know their blood is precious? How many know they will be honored highly? But how many know you don't have to be a martyr? The promise is given long life and length of days, calling and purpose. You can't do much for God dead. Okay. You don't know, and you're giving your all, and you're killed in the process. The beauty of that sacrifice is beyond comprehension, and God honors it and recognizes it. Anyway, I don't mean to get off onto that too much, but here's Job 1. Go all the way down to verse 21. Job makes a statement. And I want you to notice, God did not make this statement. Job made this statement. Job said, naked came I out of my mother's womb. Naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Here's a wonderful attitude, a wonderful heart, but he doesn't know who his God is. You say, well, that's pretty arrogant. How are you to judge whether he knows? I'm glad you asked that question. Go to 42. Go to Job 42. Job will answer that question for you himself. Why don't these people who preach this nonsense read the whole book? At the end of Job 42, last chapter, he says, then Job answered the Lord and said. Now, one of the things that he answering to the Lord about is where this fourth guy who comes out of nowhere, who speaks together with God and is never checked by God, who speaks as if he is the Lord, Elihu, whose name is interesting. It's tied to Elohim. He's the fourth man. If you look through Scripture, you'll always notice the fourth man. Remember Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the furnace? And the king looked seven times hotter? Wait a minute, there's four guys in there, and one of them is like unto the son of... Huh? Isn't that fascinating? That's some wild stuff, sister. Okay, so... Then Job answered. One of the things that Elihu said in the previous dialogue was, Jehovah does not afflict. Yet the whole book is about how God afflicts. Except who's talking? But we've taken that and developed doctrine. I know when somebody that I want to pray for or somebody that I'm talking to says, well, you know, brother, sometimes I feel like old Job. That false humility just comes all over them. And I know what's coming next. I understand their heart. I'm not being critical of them. I try to find a place to agree. But when I hear that, well, we're like old Job. Job was awesome. Job was before the new covenant. He had no Jesus. He was like Abraham, who became aware of God and started talking to God. And even when he thought God was pounding him, he was saying, if you kill me, I'm still going to love you. Job was awesome. And he really was getting slam dunked. He just thought what the devil was doing was God. So he said, hey, I don't know where all this is coming from. God gives, he takes away. But Job said it, not God. Here's what he says at the end of the book. Job answered the Lord and said, I know that thou canst do everything, and that no thought can be withholden from thee. Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore have I uttered that I understood not. Things too wonderful for me which I knew not. Here I beseech thee, and I will speak, I will demand of thee, and declare unto thee, I have heard of thee, by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye. That's why I know Elihu wasn't just any dude. Because the Bible says no man has seen God. Men have seen Jesus. He says, but now mine eyes seeth thee. He says, I repent in dust and ashes. For the things I've said. Isn't that amazing? You say, where'd I get that from? Well, just back up. Let me keep going. It was so that after the Lord had spoken these words unto Job, the Lord said to Eliphaz, the Temanite, my wrath is kindled against thee. And he goes on and he deals with the others. Back up to where is it? Did I skip over top of it? Oh, yeah, of course. He said, where he said, therefore, verse 3, have I uttered that I understood not. Things too wonderful for me, which I knew not. This is what he's saying. I said things that I didn't know that I was saying, and I repent for those things. Isn't that something? Now he knows. I heard, but now I see. So, when we tie a beautiful worship song, and yet the inference is you give and take away, and that's not based on the Word of God. We're opening up our lives. We had good friends of ours. They uttered with their lips, Lord, even if you take our children. And the Lord did. Just the wrong Lord. I'm thankful that my dad got a hold of that early and realized, No, we're to stand and resist steadfast in the faith. How many know he gives and gives again? He giveth and giveth and giveth again. Psalms 116, David said, how can I repay you for all that you have done for me? I will lift up my cup. What's he saying? I'll take more. That's the most humble thing you can do, is take more of His goodness, His protection, His peace, His direction. Say, He is good, and His mercy endures forever. I didn't mean to go this long. So many have these lofty, martyr-like ideas of surrender, and they're very dangerous and naive. Can you say amen? Many of these ideas are popularized, as we've already said, through a lot of contemporary songs and old songs. You remember, what's the one? Old songs that we love. That's a little more of a slant for me. We got to know the context of the time. But in a lot of these scriptures, songs, music, as I said, can connect us emotionally to perceive truth. We need to be careful about that. Let me just finish up here. We talked about Job. Many have fall prey to these missionary, martyr-like surrender, these great ideas, and don't even understand what it is that they're surrendering to. Let me tell you, every day on the mission field, I can tell you as a missionary son, every day on the mission field isn't crusades, campaigns, big lights, large platforms, and seas of people. Every day on the mission field is as mundane, or maybe a little more mundane than here. Try sweeping a dirt floor. That's pretty mundane. You just live. Most of the time, you just live. At any rate, we talked about Job. I'm going to try to skip through some of this. Wrong biblical philosophies about surrender can take you into some very dangerous, we already said that, and potentially fatal paths. Before you try being, and here's my point, and we can pick up here next week. Before trying to be surrendered in these great, huge, lofty ideas of ministry and grandeur, I want to bring something to your attention, something I've thought about a lot. The Apostle Paul was the greatest missionary that ever lived. He is the one who lists in Philippians 3, you think you got something to brag about? Let me tell you, I'm a Jew of Jews. He starts listing his accomplishments and he says, but all this I count as dung for the excellency. Think of that. Done. I've surrendered all of my accomplishments, and I count that as dung. That's strong terminology for the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ. And he talks right there about righteousness, which is of faith. Now, I want you to think about who Paul is. Paul, in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, we won't go there, I won't take the time, but he lists, I was shipwrecked, stoned, almost put to death, goes on, he talks about all the stuff that he's been through. How many know Paul experienced some things? Beaten, stoned, left for dead. He goes on, he talks about all the different things. And yet I want you to notice that Paul's dialogue, this is why we're dealing with this stuff on Sunday morning, and I'll try to finish this and let us go. Paul, with all of these things, his life, you're talking about somebody who had a surrendered life? Writing to young Timothy, he said, I've fought a good faith. I've fought a good fight. I've finished my course. Man, that is amazing. This guy who in Philippians 3:10 is saying after writing most of the New Testament, my biggest desire is that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. Think about all of these great, great things that he saw and accomplished. And man, the stuff that he'd been through and seeing the power of God, supernatural stuff. You read the book of Acts lately? Incredible. And yet, what is the dialogue to the church at large? He says, be faithful in these little things. Love one another. Esteem each other higher than another. Affirm one another. Encourage one another. Don't think more highly of yourself than you ought. Walk in the gift that you have. Find your place. Desire earnestly the best gifts. Above all, earnestly follow after love. Again and again, I was going to read some of those to you tonight. We'll do that next week. But all of this, he's saying, listen, you want to hear from God? You want to follow God? You want to be truly surrendered? Start here. Now, that's been abused in the church. You want to really grow in the kingdom of God, Evelyn? Then you need to submit to me. personally. You need to submit to me. You need to do what I do. Walk chalk. You're going to serve me. You're going to hand me my... You're going to... And this has been abused. It's been a form of a manipulation. There's a lot of people get involved in church and they get abused because it's brought to a personal level. Well, you're serving a king. You're serving an elitist who's gotten full of himself. Okay? But we're in danger now of going the other way. Are you with me? There is a body. And God hath set in the church some for to be, Ephesians 4, apostles, sent ones, foundation builders, apostles, prophets, those that announce, declare, speak of the will of God. Are you with me? Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Many say that the original literally only lists four. Apostles, prophet, evangelists, pastor, teachers. Who cares? What difference does it make? The point is that he set them in the church for the purpose of, through teaching, through preaching, through encouraging, through admonishing. What did Paul tell Timothy? Man, be ready with the word of God to encourage, to correct, to reprove. The church today can't take correction or reproof. Don't you bother me. I'm in grace. Because why? It's not because it's just the church has got a problem with rebellion. There's been abuse too. There's a mutual problem here. What do we do? How do we fix this? We go back to the Word of God. Okay? This issue of surrender, it starts in a body. And it starts, Paul is saying, you want to hear from God on the big stuff? I was going to read the scriptures. Jesus said, you want a vineyard of your own? Be faithful in the vineyard of another. In another place, he says, be faithful in little, and I will make you faithful over much. This isn't to be abused by authoritarians. It's a kingdom principle, which literally is saying, and it's so true, if I'm faithful here in loving, in affirming, and making sure that I'm checking me first, am I aware of the log in my own eye before I point out the splinter in Sally's? Am I aware, am I aware of these things? Am I walking in the... And if we begin to, on this level, learn to be sensitive, if I become sensitive the needs around me. If I become aware, if I'm being faithful in these little areas, God's going to begin to step up the power and I'm going to start hearing Him on a whole different level. You follow me? Faithful in little things. So this thing of surrender starts where? This is what Paul, Peter, all of them, James, addressed over and over. These men who'd been through all kinds of things, who had heard God in great supernatural. Can you imagine singing at midnight and suddenly there was a violent earthquake and bands? What in an earthquake could cause bands to pop loose? This is supernatural stuff going on. Are you with me? And what did they do? Run like they were scared? They hung around and told people, everybody, how good God was. These guys, and yet what was their desire? Says, listen, you want to talk about surrender? You want to talk about a surrendered life? You want to say with me, I've fought the fight, a good fight? I've finished my course? Here's where this begins. The power is sourced right here. And we'll go there next week. Isn't that good? Isn't that rich? Awesome stuff. This all down here has everything to do with the supernatural. Father, thank you so much for your word. Michael and Abigail, would you guys do just the course of that last song? You do that with us? Wouldn't that be great? Let's stand our feet. You enjoy this tonight? Yes. This spoken to your heart? How many excited about following God? How many excited to know it's from the inside out? How many are going to say, I hear from God? I mean, no, you're not going to get it right. As long as you're in this earth suit, you're not going to get it every time. We're dependent on Him. But how many know we're going to hear more and more, clearer and clearer, as we press in. And that surrender starts. Did that make sense? I didn't have the time to develop like I had wanted to. But it starts right here on this level. Amen. Praise the Lord. Father, we thank you. Would you say it with me? I'm your son. I'm your daughter. Hallelujah. I hear your voice. I know how to follow you. I know when to go and when not to. I believe. Your anointing tells me what I need to know in business, tells me what I need to know in relationship, tells me what, and I'm going to surrender to you. I trust that you know what you're talking about. I don't want to tell her that. I don't want to ask him for forgiveness. I don't want to do these things, but I have to trust you. It's your will, not mine. I surrender. I surrender. Isn't that beautiful? And in these little things, faithful and little, man, the day will come when he'll just kick us into a whole nother gear if he's not doing it already. How many are already kicking into a whole nother gear? Isn't it great? Isn't it great? Jesus, how we love you, how we honor you, how we trust you. Would you say this with me right now? I trust you utterly with my past. Think about that. Done. Over. Cleansed. Settled. Forgotten. I remember good things. The bad stuff fades as I press into the future. Come on, are you here today? I trust you. Come on, shout it out. I trust you with my past. Utterly. I trust you with my present. Today is the day the Lord has made. I'll not fret. What did he tell us over there in Psalms? He said, fret not because the evildoer seems to prosper in his way. Don't you worry about those that seem to be just doing great while they're doing wrong. Uh-uh. You honor God. Know that your steps as a righteous man are ordered of God. Say with me one more time, I trust you with my presence. Oh, you're doing good stuff in me. Now let it come out of your mouth, and I trust you utterly. I trust you utterly with my future. Hallelujah. I'm going to say it again. Here it comes. You remember the old song? A future so bright I got to wear shades. A good future. A great plan. How thankful we are. In Jesus' name. Sing it. Let's worship together as we're dismissed. And it's been fun. We're glad for the Word of God. Let's go. Bless you and have a wonderful week. Yes, sir.